guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Dental Marketing Secrets Podcast. So excited to have you here with us. My name is Mark Thackeray, and today I'm joined by Dr. David Whitlock, who's in Ashland, Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. And we're going to be talking about a topic that I haven't ever talked about on the show before. We're going to discuss kind of the differences between rural practice marketing and marketing your practice in an urban city setting. So it's going to be a really, really fun topic that, like I mentioned, we haven't discussed yet. And I think a lot of people are going to have questions about this. So it's excited to have Dave on here. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. So why don't you take a few minutes, Dave, and give us some background, give our listeners some background on your experience. I know you've practiced a lot of different areas across the country and some different settings there. So just you take a few minutes, share your experience and your background a little bit so people have an idea of where you're coming from.
Sure. So I've been practicing for just over 16 years. I graduated in 2007 from Virginia Commonwealth University. I grew up in Southern California. My wife grew up in Tempe, Arizona. Okay. So we're kind of big city people. That's what we know, and that's what we're used to. So when we graduated school, I went back and practiced in Phoenix for a period of time. I've practiced in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've practiced in Fort Collins, Colorado, so Northern Colorado, and a little bit in Raleigh before I settled here in Eastern Kentucky. For the first decade or so plus years of practicing, I practiced in heavily populated, big cities, heavily congested areas.
And
my wife and I kind of got to a point where we said, we need to do something different here. This isn't working for us. So I expanded my search and started searching for smaller towns kind of throughout the southeastern U.S. and came across, this town, Ashland, Kentucky. Found a practice here for sale. It was from two twin brothers, actually, that I bought the practice from. And I bought that in 2019. So I moved my family here. We've lived here for the last, just over 4 years. And since then, I've had the opportunity to purchase a couple of other practices in a couple of smaller towns in and around where I live. So one's about a half an hour from me, my second practice, and my third one is about 45 minutes from where my original practice is. So it's been an interesting learning experience for me to transition from, kind of big city dentistry, high competition, heavily populated areas to a spot in the country where, we're underserved. There's a tremendous need for dentistry here. And so it's really kind of opened my eyes to the idea of practicing rurally and what benefits that has, at least brought me, and what benefits I believe that other dentists should be taking advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into that in just a sec. I wanted to ask you before, as you were practicing, you mentioned Phoenix, you mentioned Dallas, Fort Worth area. Had you any idea or any inkling or any desire, or did you even think about, finding a practice in some of these smaller towns, these smaller communities?
I definitely didn't in Phoenix. I was pretty naive, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I was pretty clueless as to what was going on around me. And I failed there spectacularly, if I'm being perfectly honest. And so that's what kind of jettisoned me leaving the Phoenix area. I said, this isn't working for me. And so I had a good friend of mine still a good friend to this day that I went to dental school with, who was practicing in that market in Dallas. And so we moved out there. And, even then, as I, we only practiced there for about a year, because as I was looking around for other practices, I kept seeing the same things. I kept seeing running into the same obstacles of too many dentists, not enough work. I couldn't really find a practice that I thought I could thrive in or that I could grow.
Yeah.
Because the competition level was so high. I again didn't really learn my lesson and went to Colorado, which is another heavily populated area with a ton of dentists. I jokingly I say this, I'm not as smart as I think I am, because it took me a decade to figure this out, a decade plus. So, once my wife and I decided to leave Colorado, we originally wanted to go to North Carolina. And so I moved to Raleigh while I was waiting for my kids to finish school and for us to sell our house. And I was working for, you know, kind of a corporate gig in Raleigh, knowing that I was just trying to pay the bills while I was trying to look in smaller, you know, smaller towns in and around Raleigh.
Yeah.
But even then, that market was really hot. And everybody, I mean, every practice that I looked at, even in a little bit outside of Raleigh, somebody was coming behind me with deeper pockets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I quickly realized this wasn't going to work either. So I expanded my search to, I mean, I looked in Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, obviously Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, even a little bit of Georgia. I considered Florida until I figured out I'd have to take another board exam, and I knew I wasn't going to do that. So,
yeah.
so
yeah.
I crossed that one off my list pretty quick. But what really appealed to me about where I'm at now is not only that it was a smaller environment, it's a town of about 25,000 people. But the dental market here is very favorable for me from the standpoint of there's a lot of dentists that are in their mid to late 60s that are of retirement age. And I knew that there would be more opportunities for me outside of just, you know, one practice, or at least the ability to stay busy in a single practice, because there were going to be more dentists retiring and there were going to be placed, you know, these patients were going to have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thought of looking for a smaller town really didn't make sense to me until, you know, like I said, till I looked 4 years ago.
And then when you decided to make that shift, how was it? And this, you know, this is more of a personal question, but I'm just curious, how was the impact on the family? I mean, it seems like that's a big component. You mentioned earlier that, you know, it wasn't working for you and your wife. So I know that that was, she was a deciding factor in that as well. But from a family standpoint, you know, as I think about it, trying, you know, telling my kids like, hey, we're going to move to a different place, you know, that, that could be a, that's a big challenge, right? So how was it received on their end? And what did that look like?
It was not received well, if I'm being honest. I have five kids.
Okay.
So my, at the time, my oldest was 15, all the way down to five. So I have three daughters and two sons. So when we moved here, my oldest daughter was going into her sophomore year of high school.
Yeah.
And while it was difficult for them from the standpoint of they didn't want to leave.
Right.
But what I have found to be incredibly rewarding about our experience here is that my kids especially have had opportunities in a smaller community that they would not have had anywhere else we've ever lived.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. My oldest daughter, again, she was a swimmer. So she had, you know, been swimming forever, swam for her high school there in Colorado where we lived. And when we moved out here to Kentucky, she continued to swim. But during her sophomore year, she made some friends with some girls who were on the soccer team. And they said, hey, you should come play soccer. And she said, okay, you know, having never played soccer, organized soccer, she showed up at the first day of practice and they said, yeah, come and play. And, you know, she lettered in soccer her last 2 years, you know, got on the field and played a little bit and, you know, made some friends and, you know, got to be a part of a team. You know, swimming is kind of an individual sport. So she had an opportunity to be, you know, kind of in that team setting. But my kids have had opportunities here. Again, they haven't had other places. They, you know, they're on all bunch of sports teams. My daughters play in the orchestra at school. They sing in the choir. My kids can work, you know, in a smaller community. My oldest daughter worked at the movie theater here in town. My son, who's a senior in high school now, currently works at a pizza place down the street that he's worked at since he was 15.
That's cool.
You know, it's funny. My oldest, she went to school for a year and came back to visit, and her and my oldest son expressed jealousy over my youngest son, who is 9 now, but he will go through his whole schooling career here in Eastern Kentucky in a small town.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've expressed jealousy. They said, man, I wish that would have been us. Like, this would have been cool for us to go through it this way.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been, I've been grateful for the opportunity to at least give them exposure to something different. You know, this is now at least on their radar of, you know, maybe I could live in a small town when I have a family of my own. And I know what that experience is like. I'm sure I'll have some that'll say, no, you know, I want to go big city, and they know what that's like too.
Right.
So from that standpoint, it's been very rewarding as a parent. And more importantly, it's been rewarding for me as a provider, because I've been able to provide better for my family here than I have anywhere else I've ever lived.
Yeah, that's so neat. I mean, those experiences, I'm sure it's just the tip of the iceberg too, as far as all the things that have come because of that decision to move. And I'm sure you guys have been, drawn closer together as a family because of that, because you kind of have to, when you're moving and you don't know anyone to start, you have to you stay around those people that you do know and build that relationship even better. But all those experiences, that's priceless. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's been very rewarding. And you make a good point, because it 100% has, brought us closer as a family, because it was just us. Like you said, I don't even know if I'd even set foot in the state of Kentucky, let alone, lived here.
Right.
I don't have family here. Like, I'm not from here. And so it was, we moved here knowing nobody.
Yeah.
And I know that that's scary for some people. I get that. But it has made a huge difference in our family, at least being, like you said, closer as a family, and, being able to experience some of this stuff together. It's been great.
Yeah. No, and that's so neat. That's so neat. I mean, we have four kids, four girls, and my oldest is 15 right now. And I think, the closer she gets to college age and, potentially leaving the house, the more you want time with your family, and I think it does make me think, do I want to change what we're doing, in order to increase that time spent with each other before these kids start leaving the house, And so this is a great, I think that's something that people should definitely take into consideration. Because ultimately we don't get a do-over on any of those, unfortunately that's just the way it is. So I think if we could take advantage, whatever we can do to take advantage of the time we have with them, the better, and make that even more quality time, be more present with them, the better, So, well, let's transition a little bit. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
And let me just say one thing before we move on. I think the other piece of the puzzle that has been huge for my family, at least, is that my kids now know they can do something that's difficult.
Yeah.
Moving here sight unseen, not knowing anybody and having to fit in is extremely difficult. And so they have that experience now. And so this isn't the only place they'll ever live. They're going to have to do this over and over again throughout their lives. And so for my kids to be able to look back and say, yeah, I remember when we moved to Kentucky and it was difficult and I didn't know anybody, yet I made this friend and that friend and I had this experience and that experience. And they'll be able to pull from that and say, well, I could do this again. Now, if I go to X, Y, and Z, wherever it is, I can do this all over again because I've done it before.
Yeah.
I think that's an invaluable experience that I'm glad that they have.
Yeah, that confidence could trend, that'll trickle down into so many other aspects of their life, whether it is
100%.
A career or relationships or school or whatever the case may be, that's something that it becomes a part of who they are here moving forward. So that's such a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
All of the above.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, talk to me a little bit about, why is there, because one of the questions I had when this topic first brought up, when you reached out, I thought this is such an interesting one, because, there's a lot of misconceptions about practicing rurally, being in a small town, being out in the sticks, whatever the case may be. There's people that they just don't either see themselves there, maybe because they've never been in that situation before. But walk me through those. I mean, did you have any of those misconceptions, or did you have any of these ideas of what it would be like and when you first were exploring that opportunity?
So I'll give you two different aspects here, because there's the aspect of the dentist, the practitioner, and what I think some misconceptions are there, and then there's the aspect of just living in a small town, just day to day life. You know what I mean?
Right.
From a practitioner standpoint, I think the two biggest misconceptions out there are that if you're in a rural setting, you're basically a Medicaid clinic.
Right.
You're just seeing Medicaid. You're just seeing state assistance, that's all that exists out in rural areas. And that's just absolutely not true. I mean, my three practices that I have here, we are basically fee-for-service offices. I'm a provider for Delta Dental, and that's the only, in-network insurance that I take. Everything else is cash, okay, or, you know, we'll bill your insurance and you're paying the difference.
Right.
So, and the other great misconception is that people in rural communities can't pay for treatment.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're basically going to spend your days just doing big fillings or, you know, pulling teeth.
Right.
You know, and the best marker that I can point to refute that. So I place implants, and I've been placing implants for probably 10 years now. In the 4 years that I've been here in Eastern Kentucky, I've placed probably twice as many implants as I've placed in the 7 previous years that I practiced in Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. So people can absolutely afford treatment. They, you know, and some can't, don't get me wrong.
Right.
I pull plenty of teeth that could be saved. And some of that is due to finances, and some of that is due to they just don't, you know, they treat teeth like they're disposable.
Yeah.
But I've
yeah.
found that everywhere that I've practiced. So that's no different here.
Right.
So, you know, those, I think at least as a practitioner, I think those are the two things that people need to get over, or I shouldn't say get over, but need to realize that that's definitely not the case. At least that hasn't been my experience. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of patients who, you know, gladly pay for treatment. I have plenty of patients who, you know, can afford treatment. You know, some of the ones that can't afford it choose not to do it. But again, you find that everywhere. So that's
right.
No different than anywhere else I've practiced. As a, you know, the day-to-day living part that, and this is going to sound goofy, but some people that hear this are going, this will resonate with them. My biggest concern moving to a small town was not having a Costco close to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a stupid thing, but I'm being honest. That's the truth. I mean, the thought of my closest Costco being an hour and a half away was like, man, am I really going to be able to function here? Like, how am I even going to do this?
Right.
But you know what? What has been a huge benefit to me is that the idea of having financial security far outweighs the amenities that you thought you couldn't live without.
Yes.
I mean, for my entire career up until this point, I pretty much lived paycheck to paycheck. Because I'm practicing in heavy populated areas. I'm practicing with dentists on top of dentists. And, you know, there was always that concern of, am I going to have enough work to do? I've always right. had that in the back of my head. And moving somewhere where that's never, ever been a concern for me. I mean, my phones ring off the hook every day. I never have a shortage of people to work on. So that fear has essentially left me that's going to be an issue for me. And so the idea that I can, you know, go to work, I'll have enough work to do, I'll have enough money is so incredibly rewarding and so, you know, alleviates so much stress that I'm okay if I don't have a Topgolf in my backyard, or if
right.
I don't have a Costco down the street, or if I don't have, you know, this amenity, you know, a Target. I mean, we don't have a Target here where I live, mm-hmm. you know, I've found it very easy for me to live without those things, you know, to have that financial security. I've been in and out of, you know, speaking at a couple of dental schools, especially the ones here in Kentucky, and we're going to run into a real problem here before too long. When I say that, tuition continues to increase every year on these mm-hmm. dental students.
Yeah.
Every class size is getting bigger. So more dentists are graduating. They're in more debt than they've ever been in. And they're all running and trying to practice on top of each other in the same places.
Right.
It's going to become a very, very financially unstable for them. I mean, I could make the case that this is happening right now today.
Yeah.
And so if they want to be able to pay back the tremendous debt that they're in and still be able to live some semblance of a, you know, a quality of life, I can make the argument that practicing rurally is the only way you're going to be able to do that. And that's part of kind of why, you know, I want to get this message out. I mean, I've done the work on the week, or I've done, you know, the work at work on the evenings. I've worked on the weekends.
Right.
You know, I've ridden that rodeo. And, you know, I don't think any of us got into dental school and got into dentistry thinking that was how we were going to work.
Right.
But that's the reality in these big cities now. And that's what makes me nervous for kind of this next generation of dentists. They're in trouble financially.
That does pose a huge threat to the lifestyle, the overall health of even the health, you know, of the practitioner and their family. You know, if they're having to do all that in order to just stay afloat, in order to stay, you know, productive, like that's just not sustainable, you know? And so, yeah, they're going to have other means, you know? And so interesting. Yeah. I never thought about it that way. But that is a very real scenario.
I mean, I can make the case that before, and I don't think we're this far off from this happening, that if you want to stay in a big city, you are going to have to practice in a DSO setting. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the opportunity to work in a private practice Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. I think that they are quickly disappearing. And before too long, that's all that will be left in big cities. So if you want, again, if you want the opportunity to practice, again, 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday, I mean, I work 5 days a week now only because I have to, because I have two practices that I'm the only provider in.
Yeah.
So I work 3 days in one practice and I work 2 days in another. My third practice, I have the gentleman that I bought it from has agreed to stay on as an associate for a year. Mm-hmm. So luckily for me right now, I don't have to be a provider in that practice. But, you know, the reality is that these are the schedules that these DSOs work. And I know it because I've done it. I did this for 7 years when I lived in Northern Colorado. I worked 7:30 to 7:30. You know, I worked on Saturdays.
Right.
And, you know, these guys are coming, they're buying up practices again with deeper pockets than any of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the route they go. When I was in Raleigh, there was a practice or a group of practices called Night and Day Dental that were open from 8 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Every day.
Wow.
I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, who wants to work like that?
Oh man.
I mean, you know, that's tough. That's a tough way to go. It just is.
Right.
So when you can really look at your situation and say, and I'll get into this piece as well. It's cheaper to live in rural America.
Right.
It absolutely is. When I moved from Colorado to Kentucky, I cut my mortgage in half for the same size house.
Yeah.
So that's everybody's largest expense usually is housing. Mm-hmm. But I would say I've saved myself thousands of dollars a month on what I was paying for what I'm paying for now.
Right.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal to say now I can either A, work as hard as I was working and bank that money, or I can work less and bring home less money because it's cheaper for me to live here and I can extend my career by X amount of years.
Right. Right. That's so
you know,
interesting.
That's a tremendous benefit.
Yeah. Well, and that's just one of them. You know, I mean, we were talking beforehand, but just on some of the, from a marketing standpoint, you know, when you get into the actual, you know, tactical approach of how do you attract new patients? And especially when you compare that to, you know, what you previously described in a big city setting where you have dentist on top of dentist, you have a lot of them are funded by these DSOs. And so their marketing dollars, their marketing budget is significantly larger than a private practitioner. And so you're fighting, you know, an uphill battle all the time, you know, in a big city setting. Whereas you talk to us about, you know, in a rural setting, what does that look like from a marketing standpoint? You know, what are some of the things that you do differently, or what are some of the things that you do that with different results, I guess I should say?
Yeah, and that's a great point because, yes, is it more expensive to live, just day in, day out living is more expensive in a big city, but your marketing dollars are more expensive for the same things that you're doing.
Yeah.
But your return in a smaller community is astronomically higher than it is. And I'll give you a couple of examples. When I first moved here, I started sending out a direct mail campaign, 5,000 mm-hmm. houses, you know, 4 different sections throughout town. I got a tremendous return on my phones. It was obvious when the mailers hit the mailboxes,
yeah.
because the next day my phones rang off the hook and my staff would know. They're like, "Hey, a mailer went out yesterday, didn't it?" And I said, "Yes, it did." And they would know because the phones would ring off the hook. Nobody else was doing this. Nobody. Yeah. It was just me. And I'm not in a situation where I'm the only dentist in town.
Yeah.
You know, my original practice, I mean, there's probably a good 15 dentists here would be my guess.
Okay.
Now, I've also lived in communities where there were 15 dentists in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, that's also a stark contrast. But, you know, that's one piece of the marketing puzzle where I would gladly spend that $2,000 a month because my phones would ring off the hook. I mean, I'd have patients coming in from all the time. I got to the point where I had to stop. I was too busy. I couldn't get to people in a timely fashion. So it became a waste of money for me to say, well, spend this $2,000, get so many calls that I can't get you in for 2 months. And then it became, you know, defeatist. It wasn't worth the money. So I stopped doing it.
Yes.
That was probably a year and a half ago that I stopped. You know, another piece of marketing that I've enjoyed here in a rural community is that, you know, my kids are very active in sports. And so I'll sponsor the football team. I'll sponsor the swim team. I'll sponsor the volleyball team. But, you know, when I go to, you know, the high school football game on Friday night, right, they have all the sponsor banners all around the field. I'm the only dentist there.
Yeah.
It's just me. So, you know, I go to the games. My son plays. So, I mean, that helps. But I would go to the games even if he didn't.
Right.
Because that's kind of what our community does on Friday nights. People go to the football games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look around and see the banners, again, I'm the only dentist you're going to see. When they announce the sponsors throughout the game, I'm the only dentist's name you're going to hear.
Yeah.
And people see me there. People know who I am. And so that's impactful. That makes, you know, people, you stand out. I've gone to football games in other communities where, you know, you're the 10th dentist that they name at the game.
Right.
That's all white noise. Nobody's listening at that point. There's right. there's no differentiation there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in Phoenix, I used to do the Valpak ads. I'm
right.
sure you're familiar with these.
Yeah.
You know, I'd get mine in the mail and without fail, there's 8, 9, 10 dentists in there.
Yep.
And it's all the same thing. Picture of your family, the three ads on the right side for your new patient special, your free implant consult, and your $150 extraction. They were all exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? They pick it up and they throw it in the trash. There's no use for that for them because they're all the same.
Right.
So again, my pitch here is that when you're in a environment where you have less competition, your marketing is so much more impactful because you might be the one or two people that are doing it. You know, if I sponsor a, you know, a fun run in town, my name's the only one on the back of the shirt that's a dentist.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lawyer, a dentist, this pizza joint, whatever. I mean, your money goes so much further, and either you can continue to ramp it up and get more return on it, or truth be told, you don't have to spend as much on marketing
right.
to get a return that works for you.
Right.
So either way, you're way further ahead, whether you can spend the money and produce more dentistry because of it, or you say, I don't even need to spend this much money because I've already got a return on it. Either way, you're better off.
That's so nice. That's such a nice position to be in. You know, I mean, I think, and that's, you know, if you are practicing in a highly populated area or a highly saturated area full of other competitors, you know, you're the best position to be in is where you can kind of be, differentiate yourself in such a way that there isn't as much competition, you know? And I think that's a very challenging prospect when you are going up against dozens of others in your immediate surrounding neighborhood, you know, but yeah, when you're in a rural setting and you get to sponsor the local events, you get to meet those people at the local events. Your relationships are so much deeper. They run so much deeper. And yeah, like you said, it just goes further. You know, your marketing dollars go further. They're not getting, they're not increasing because everyone else wants to do it as well. You're not because of competition. It's not driving up the rates, but you're just, it seems like it's such a nice scenario where you're not having to, like you said, invest as much. So that goes more to, you know, increases profitability for the practice. It's a really good situation to be in.
Yeah, it's the best. And I mean, if I'm being honest, I mean, I'll take the football team for an example. I mean, I support the football team because, you know, I don't want to say they need the money. They do. You know, they need money to feed the kids and the equipment. Football's an expensive sport.
Right.
And so, you know, do I get a huge return on it? I don't even know. And to be honest, I don't even care. Like, yeah. I don't need to track it and say, hey, well, did you hear about me because you were at the football game? Or did you hear about me because you saw my name on the back of that shirt? Like, and it's funny, I had this marketing conversation with somebody else and they asked me, they said, well, how do you track all of it? I said, I don't have to track it. I don't care.
Right.
Because A, I don't have to do a million different things and say, well, where did you find me? And then I have to say, okay, well, this is returning this much money, so I'm going to do this and not do that. It's all just becomes stuff I want to do because I'm a member of the community. So right. I want people to know that I'm in the community. I want them to know, you know, that I care about the community that I live in. And to me, I don't have to track it. I don't have to say, okay, well, I know I get X amount of dollars from being at the football game, so I'll keep doing that. But if it dips below such and such dollar amount, I'll probably have to stop doing that and move to something else. Like, I don't need a marketing strategy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know that that's what you do. So I don't mean to take, you know, to, you know, to trash it, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But when you, it's a different mindset. You get to look at marketing differently in a rural community than you do in a big city setting. And to me, you do the marketing because you like it, because it's rewarding for you to be, you know, again, part of that community. Whereas, you know, trying to do it to increase business. I don't need to increase business. I've got plenty of business.
Right.
You know, I do it because, like I said, it makes me a part of the community. It makes me noticeable. It makes me, you know, aware of what's going on around me. And it also lets people in the community know that I know what's going on around us and that I'm trying to be helpful.
Right. Right.
And that's a different kind of marketing.
Yeah. Well, and it's just a different situation to be in. You know, those people in those highly populated areas some of them literally have to do that in order to survive. You know, they have to be able to
100%
attribute everything, all their marketing dollars to a return. Otherwise they don't make it, you know, I mean, it's that risky for them. So what a different position to be in.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So you're selling me on this, Dave. Jeez.
Well, that's my idea. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do here, because, you know, and part of this is self-serving because I need help. You know, I mean, I'm so busy that I'm wearing myself out. Like, I can't keep up the pace that I'm going at right now. So I need people to wake up and understand what these opportunities are and what this lifestyle looks like, because, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's great. And, you know, I really don't feel like there's a voice out there right now that's promoting this. I don't know. I've never heard it personally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's really my drive here, is that, you know, not only do I need, you know, it's just self-serving because I need help, but this, whether you choose to come to Eastern Kentucky or Northwestern Minnesota, wherever, you know, it doesn't matter to me. What really matters is that this is, you know, you can live the lifestyle that you anticipated living as a dentist practicing in these types of communities.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so let me ask you this, Dave, for those that are, let's say that, you know, they hear this, they have been maybe struggling with their current situation, wherever they might be, and they're considering something like this, what would you, you know, first steps, what would you recommend them to do?
Well, so first thing I would love for them to do is visit my website. And, you know, it's not a subscription website. It's purely a website where I'm posting articles and my thoughts on rural dentistry. It's called ruralpractices.com. So I think that they can get some insights, at least on what my feelings are about rural dentistry. And I, you know, I tell everybody the same thing. If you are considering making a change and wanting to, you know, look at a rural community, the level of competition is your overarching theme. Mm-hmm. Look at an opportunity and say, how much competition do I have here for the number of people that live there? Okay. How many dentists are in town? Where are they in their arc of practice? Again, there's a handful of, you know, there's a decent amount of dentists where I live, but I could name right now six or seven of them that are in their mid to late 60s.
Wow.
So I know that I've got a couple of years here and I'm going to have a number of patient populations that are going to need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And if history is any indicator, not all of these gentlemen are going to be able to sell their practices to somebody. Until I moved out here, I was not aware that dentists would get to a point of retirement and just lock their doors and say, I'm retired. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
They don't even sell their practices.
Wow.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I did not know that that existed until I moved here.
Holy cow.
And so that is, I mean, you really need to take the temperature of the climate, you know, of the dental climate there and say, you know, how many dentists do we have here? How many people do we have here? You know, to be honest, I think a lot of people get hung up on growth. Oh, well, this is a really big growth area. So this is where you want to be. I totally disagree. If I'm being honest, the area I live in is in decline. Nobody's moving here. You know, it's not a hot growth area where they're building new tracts of homes everywhere. That's not where I live. But there's more than enough people here to sustain, you know, multiple dentists because there's still people here.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take decades for the population to totally die off and for this place to just close up shop, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not going to happen. There's always going to be people here to sustain it.
Right.
But I think, again, people get hung up on, well, I need to go where everybody's moving to. Well, no offense, but we're not that smart as dentists. We all have the same idea. So guess what? If you've identified such and such community as the up and coming, so have 50 other guys who think just like you, and they're already there.
Yeah.
So it's too late. You missed the boat. You know what I mean? That's how I feel anyway.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the level of competition is everything. It's paramount. All the other stuff, cost of living, you know, the ability to be part of a community, the ability to be able to save for retirement, you know, all of these things come secondary to, you know, how much competition is there and, you know, what does that look like? And that really is your overriding factor of figuring out of, you know, if that's a rural community for you or not. I mean, you could go to a, you know, quote unquote rural community, and I mean, I'll name one in your backyard. I would consider, you know, Heber, Utah to be a rural community, but you best believe there's way too many dentists there to sustain anybody that wants to open up shop there. Personal opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not enough to just look at look at the number of people there and say, oh, well, there's enough people there, so I'll go set up shop there. There's not enough people there if there's too many dentists there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's plain and simple.
Man, that is so interesting. So interesting. A lot of things that I've never considered, you know, and so you've got the wheels turning for me, David. I appreciate
that.
Well,
and listen, I'll just tell you this. I mean, I did not come to these conclusions very easily. I mean, I got beat over the head for a decade, like I said. And so I've learned these lessons the very, very hard way. But, you know, I was speaking at the University of Kentucky a couple Fridays ago to their fourth year students. And I said, listen, guys, I said, I'll just tell you right now, if I had been sitting in the chair that you're sitting in and someone like me came in and told me what I'm telling you, I wouldn't have listened. I know that I wouldn't have. I would have gone right back to Phoenix. I would have done exactly what I did because I knew better. I was smarter than that.
Right.
And I'm not smarter than that. I'm just not. You know, and so, you know, I say these things from experience because this has been my experience. I mean, that's been my biggest teacher, is that I have failed multiple times wherever I've gone throughout the country until I learned these lessons the hard way. So, you know, that is the perspective that I come at this from. And again, I agree with you. I don't think that this gets talked about at all. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I appreciate anybody that will give me a platform to do so.
You bet. You bet. Well, I appreciate you jumping on the show, Dave, and sharing all your experiences and your insights and your willingness to connect with people. I'll make sure we put your website in the show notes. It's ruralpractices.com. RURAL practices.com. And please, you guys reach out to Dave. I know he's made time available to answer questions too. So he's a great resource if you are considering a move like this. But yeah, any last comments, Dave, before we sign off?
You know, again, I appreciate the platform. You know, I hope that it's come across that this is something that I am passionate about. And, you know, I'm passionate about it for, you know, I'll leave you with this for really two reasons. You know, we got into dental school because we thought we were going to be able to live a certain lifestyle. And that lifestyle requires hard work. Dentistry is hard work. It's hard physically and it's hard mentally. And so to put in as much time as we put in to get through school and do all the crap that we had to do, to then come out and not be able to kind of realize that lifestyle, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah,
it really is.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, my goal here is that, you know, that is to let people know that that lifestyle is still out there, but you're going to have to be willing to make a drastic change. I mean, I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but my wife and I made a drastic change because we needed something drastically to change.
Right.
And it wasn't going to be enough to go to another big city and say, well, I'll just get 20 minutes outside of that big city and that'll be far enough. And I'll still get to enjoy all the amenities of the big city and have the small town environment too.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. It's not enough of a change. It's not drastic enough. And so, you know, that's one side of the coin. The other side is it pains me to hear of practitioners who can't sell their practices.
Right.
Who have worked in a rural community that most likely they're from, you know, that they're part of that community. They've practiced there for 30 to 40 years and have to, you know, really look at not being able to sell their practices. And not even for the money, but to say, now my patients don't have somewhere to go. My staff right. doesn't have a place to work. They're invested in these communities. They're invested in these people. And the idea that they would just have to close their doors and walk away and kind of just leave everybody to the wolves. I mean, that's not great. You know, mm-hmm. that's got to be extremely disheartening. And it's got to feel like a total blow towards, you know, something that you've dedicated your life towards to just have to walk away from it because people won't consider rural opportunities that are great opportunities, by the way. And I think that's what frustrates them the most. They think, I've got a great practice here. I've got a ton of patients. I make good money. It's cheap to live here. Why won't anybody look at this? Why right. can't I find somebody? And it's very defeating. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's really my goal here is that to A, make aware of younger dentists or struggling dentists that these are opportunities they should consider, but to also hopefully provide these senior doctors, practitioners with an end game, you know, an yeah. out
right.
to where they can, you know, comfortably leave their practice to somebody knowing that there's going to be somebody there to help them and somebody there that their staff can work for and keep them employed and, you know, just feel better about the work that they've done for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah. And really pass on that legacy.
For sure. Absolutely. And, you know, and I hate to see it happen to them that way, but that is a very, very much a reality in a lot of these, you know, smaller communities. And so, you know, my hope is that we can bring this to light and can rectify this. We probably won't be able to do it for everybody, but at least for some, you right. know, and it's, you know, it's very rewarding for sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So if you want to learn more, go to Dr. Whitlock's website is www.ruralpractices.com. ruralpractices.com, and you can get some more information there. He's got some videos on there. He's got some just some really good information about his, you know, reasoning for rural practicing, you know, just looking at it in a little bit different light. And I really appreciate that. So again, Dave, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate your time and your willingness to share your experience and just your message. I think it's something that is certainly needed in the dental world right now.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.